It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26, and we're going to begin reading with the 74th verse. Matthew 26, 74, as we continue this study. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, it's 217-440-4402. And if you would like to check out our website, that'd be great, at parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. Have many studies there. Love for you to look to those, and you'll find also the plan of salvation. You're going to find our constitution. All those things are available for you to enjoy, and I hope that you take a look at them. And then also parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com would be, you could email us if you'd like. And so now I hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 26, verse 74. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. They said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. The chief priest took the silver pieces, and said, It's not lawful for us to put them into the treasury, because they're the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore the field is called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them to the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And so that'll end the reading of the scripture, and let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this time. It's such a wonderful day, wonderful joy to be able to proclaim the Word of God and to enjoy it. And just, Father, please lead us through this study. We need the direction of your sweet Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that He would guide us and bring and apply it, bring everything into our hearts and into our minds. And, Father, please, we thank and praise you that you have given us the faith we need to walk with you. And please that that faith become stronger and stronger. And the closer we walk with you, the stronger it will be. And so please, dear Father, just guide and lead us today. Thank you for the very cross that we're coming to here, the very place that the Son of God, the perfect man, was crucified, took our sins upon him, died, and then thank you that your Son rose again. He's in your presence right now, and we're just waiting his return. Thank you, Father, for this great day. And guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take a look back in John, the Gospel of John, as we have read verse 74 and 75 in Matthew. Well, let's go over to John chapter 21, and we're going to look at beginning with verse 15, because we have looked at the condition of Peter. how he has betrayed him. And it, again, back in verse, I kind of hold both places here, Matthew 26:74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And that was the third time, and that's what the Lord had told him. We've had this, enjoyed this study, and immediately that cock crowed. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus and said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. And so now as we come to John chapter 21, and the reason that that I want to read this is because we find the difference, and we're going to look at the difference between Peter and Judas, because Judas sold out the Lord Jesus. Peter denied him three times. But we find here in John chapter 21, verse 15, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, then feed my lambs. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he said a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he had said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now we have that three times he denied him. We have three times here in John where Jesus asks him, and he tells Jesus, yes, I love you. You see, he went out and wept bitterly. It broke his heart when he denied the Lord Jesus. Peter didn't understand the flesh. He didn't understand how weak, under certain conditions, the flesh can be. He should have told the Lord when the Lord said, you're going to deny me. Oh, Lord, please that I don't deny thee. And Peter, you're going to deny me. But instead of that, why Peter was so bold and says, you know, I'll die before I would deny thee. Well, we find out how weak the flesh is. But there's a big difference here. Because Peter had trusted in the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And once you do that, you are sealed, you're kept. Peter was a born-again believer. Judas, on the other hand, we find, has rejected the Lord Jesus. Now, we've got just a little bit to study here before we get to that point. So, we find here that Peter returns and he confesses. I mean, it's so sad, as we've just read here, John 21, and he denied the Lord three times, and he confessed openly that he loved the Lord Jesus three times. And I want you to see something here, because if the Lord Jesus forgave Peter, he will forgive you. We're still in the flesh. And if there's something that you think that God can't forgive you for, is it worse than what Peter did? I don't believe so. Because you see, if the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, shows you're a sinner, and you say, yes, I know I'm lost, I know I'm a sinner, and I know I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus, because he has taken my sin away from me, and I come by faith and say, yes, I trust in you, and you only, not in baptism, not in church membership, nothing more than just the Son of God has saved me. And when you've done that, then again, you're sealed, you're kept. What wonderful. There's nothing that you can do. And I know the world, man, tells you that that can't be, that you can just do anything. Well, my dear friend, you're not going to do anything. Yes, the flesh goes through times of weakness. But the return is, as Peter, he went out and wept bitterly. It broke his heart when he realized what he had done. There's the difference. He repented. Now, Peter was saved. Peter was never lost. But he sure did break fellowship with the Lord. You remember the one gospel says that the eyes of the Lord Jesus saw the eyes and faced Peter. They saw each other. Oh, that just penetrated right down into the heart of Peter, and it just broke his heart that he had denied his Lord, and he had promised he wouldn't do that. But again, that's the flesh. And you see, you just need to do that. You need to repent. And wept bitterly, that true repentance. But I believe that that's why back here in John that Jesus asked him three times. Because we need to be reminded how weak the flesh is. How weak the flesh is. Peter was saved. So now, as we look at this, let's look at the verses now as we come into chapter 27. And we see, when it was morning was come, the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. It is so sad. Let's go back here, because I want to read back in 1 John. There's some wonderful verses of Scripture back here for us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is our propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see, Jesus died for all. And he is our propitiation. The word propitiation could be mercy seat. And we find that as you look at the Old Testament, and you may not even know what the mercy seat is. The mercy seat is the item that is found in the third, in the second room of the tabernacle. You have the courtyard, then you have the holy place and the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, you have this, what is called the mercy seat. But the mercy seat is above, is laid upon, it's a pure gold, it's laid upon the Ark of the Covenant in this room. That's the only piece of furniture that's in there. And it is a place of judgment to begin with, because inside the Ark of the Covenant is the Ten Commandments, the law. And so we've broken the law. So how does it become a mercy seat? It becomes a mercy seat because the blood is applied. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died on the cross. Saved us. His perfect blood. So as we see this, and as that high priest on the Day of Atonement, only one day a year would he go into the Holy of Holies. Never any other day. just on that one day, the Day of Atonement. He'd go in twice, once for himself because he was a sinful man. He had to go in once and apply blood from a bullock for himself. And then he would come and apply the blood of a goat and bring that in and sprinkle it seven times upon this mercy seat. And that's what makes it a mercy seat, is the application of the blood. And you see, Peter had trusted in that precious shed blood that was about to be shed. He trusted in him, knew he was going to be Savior of the world, and he was going to complete the work that he'd come to do at the cross, even though at the time he did not have that understanding. But he had trusted in him that he was the true Savior. And so when we read this back here, we need to realize that that word propitiation means just that. It means mercy seat. It means that we have, that one has paid the price in full, and now I am free because I have trusted in that precious Savior, the Lord Jesus. So that's what First John is telling us back there. And so now back to the beginning of the 27th chapter of the book of Matthew. We are now continuing the path to Calvary, to the cross. But let's take a quick look, and a very quick look at what the Lord Jesus has accomplished, what he has done in these past 3 years. He has healed all manner of diseases. He would go into a town. He'd go into a city. And many times he would heal all, not just one or two, but heal all. We also realize and know that he casts out demons. He did that many times. He raised the dead. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, his name is called Emmanuel, God with us, God manifest in the flesh. And it said that he's beloved of the Father. Yet all these things, we find that they still desire, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders desire that he be put to death. And not just put to death, but to be crucified. See, the only means that they had to put someone to death would be through stoning. But the Word of God tells us, prophesied, that he would hang on a tree. Well, they didn't realize that they were fulfilling prophecy. The worst, the most humiliating death anyone can face is crucifixion. Man has not come up with any worse type of dying, of putting one to death, than crucifixion. Sin is ugly. They desired, the religious leaders desired, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, they desired to humiliate this man, the Son of God, in the strongest way that they could. Again, not realizing that they were fulfilling prophecy. And so they sought to go to the chief priests and the elders. The chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. We have just lost a night's sleep. I believe the disciples didn't sleep. I know Peter didn't sleep. The chief priest didn't sleep. because they were too busy dotting all the I's and crossing all the T's to see that this would take place, that they would bring the most humiliation they could to this man that some call the King of the Jews, some call their Savior. They have to stop him. And so we find here, when the morning was come, Scripture tells us, as soon as it was light, they took counsel against Jesus. So it would seem that they weren't quite had all the things figured out of what they were going to do. And so they delivered him to the Roman authorities, as verse tells us here. When they'd bound him, you see, when he was first arrested in the garden, they bound him. And I'm sure that he was, and bound probably just means that his hands were tied. And so they would bring him, and then when he went before the chief priests, before Caiaphas, why, I'm sure that they loosed him, and they tried him before the Sanhedrin in the palace of Caiaphas. And when we saw this take place, why, number one, it was at night, so we know it was an illegal meeting. Nothing is done correctly. Everything that is brought before the Lord Jesus is a lie. And so they brought him, and now they're bringing him to Pilate. So they bound him again, as the Scripture says. They bound him and led him away to deliver him to Pontius Pilate, the governor, in verse 2 of Matthew 27. So the reason that Pilate was in Jerusalem was because of the feast of the Passover. The duties of the governor, and that's what Pilate's term was, he was the governor, his main responsibility is to collect the taxes and to keep order. And when you have so many Jews coming into Jerusalem for this feast, the feast of the Passover, it was a great concern that they would be able to keep order. You know, there could be a problem here because so many Jews, and there was a great hatred between Rome and the Jews. You know, we find here not between the leadership of the Jews, but the common man. There was a great rift between them. And so this governor is over Judah, appointed by Rome. His residence usually is in Caesarea, but again, he comes to Jerusalem at these main feasts because he needs to be there, because he doesn't actually do the supervision, actual arresting and things like that if there's a problem, but he needed to be there to be the director and the leader of this, because that's his responsibility. And so that's what he'd done. He'd come, and he was in Jerusalem for this point. And so now we come, and it says, and when he had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, we're going to go back to John chapter 18, verse 28. John 18, 28. It says, and then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment. And it was early. It's the very same thing we just read in Matthew. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate went out unto them and said, what accusation bring you against this man? So I wanted you to see that, because they were willing to put the Son of God to death. But they had gotten themselves so mixed up, and we have the same thing today. So many folks have left the Word of God, and they have these beliefs, and they have these traditions that they do, and they have totally lost track of the Word of God, of what it actually says and what it actually means. So few today proclaim and believe in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. You look to the Word of God, and if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to show you who you really are, and you're no different than I was, you're no different than anybody else, you're a lost, wicked sinner, you're condemned already. If you die this very moment, you'll wake up in hell, the fires of hell. But you can trust in Jesus that he can and will save you. He went to the cross of Calvary. He died on that cross to save you. And he died for every single soul. He didn't just die for those that's going to trust in him. He just didn't die for a certain few. He died for the whole world. But you need to come by faith to him to accept that gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Word of God tells us. Please, please, do not miss that. You can be very religious, you can work in the church, you can be so busy in the church, but if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus, if you have rejected the fact that it's more than just believing that Jesus lived, died, rose again. I believe that. But have you come to him and accepted that personally, one-on-one? It's something between you and Jesus. Jesus paid the price. But there is no universal salvation. You need to come to Jesus. You need to trust in him. These folks, they had gotten so religious, they were willing to kill the Son of God and yet refused to go into the Gentile court because it would defile them and they couldn't eat of the Passover supper. That's how foolish things had gotten already at this point in time, and they are more ridiculous today. So please do not miss the need of you to face your sin, acknowledge your sin, and ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Please, please that you would do that. They wouldn't go in. It defiled them. Yet they were willing to cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him," when it came to the Lord Jesus. So we find he's entered into that they have taken Jesus into the court of, into the residence of Pontius Pilate, the governor. And so we find that the question was asked back here, you know, what's the problem here? That's what they want to know. It says in verse 29, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" And they answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee." And then Pilate said unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." And the Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." And that death for them, they desired that he be crucified. Crucified. Now, we've just got just a little bit of time left, and so let's just get a little bit of a start here into the third verse of Matthew 27:3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. I'm going to make one point there. He should have went to Jesus. He should have tried to go to Jesus and said, I am so sorry, forgive me. And he would have been forgiven. But instead of that, he went back to the very ones that he had sold out to. And he saw what had happened. But that word repentance here does not mean that his sins are forgiven. He just repented of what he did. And there's a big difference. So my dear friend, ask you again, what are you going to do about Jesus?